It's a Monday, but let's head to FHN and the Dial the Doc program here. Today's president and CEO of FHN, Mark Gridley, is with us here today. Hey, Mark, good morning. Hello to you.
Well, good morning and hello to you.
Well, thanks for joining me. Of course, we're all aware of the situation with COVID-19, and it's becoming worse all over and in southern Wisconsin and in northern Illinois. Tell us what the situation is right here in northwest Illinois.
Well, as we've all been seeing the numbers going up, what's really important to take home is that it's been an exponential increase. So what's happening is that we've seen an acceleration of the number of positivity. And I know some people will quickly go to, well, we're doing more testing, but what we're also seeing is more numbers of people coming back positive. So that as that rate increases, it's showing us that there's a clear escalation. And what we've also seen is an increase in our long-term care facilities and places of work, and, of course, here locally in the health system. So it is certainly for real, and we have to do all we can to help mitigate it to make sure we have a safe season for the rest of the year.
Now, how serious is this compared to the other health public emergencies you've had to deal with?
Well, the most recent has been, if we look back at 2008-2009 time frame, where we had H1N1. Sometimes people refer to that as the swine flu. The amount of deaths that we've seen for the swine flu was just over 12,000. I think it was 12,479 in the United States. And that really affected mostly younger people, so folks that were under 30. And it was more of a fever, cough, sore throat type of thing, maybe some fatigue or weakness. But it was not at the level of COVID-19, which really is affecting people between 30 and 79, probably what we're seeing as the bigger bulk as well as older than that. And the shortness of breath is very concerning from a respiratory standpoint. We knew that H1N1 had more of a seasonality to it, where with COVID-19 being so new, we really don't know a whole lot about it, so it's unknown of how long it's going to persist, if it will come and go. And so that's created another challenge. And then also the communicability or the widespread, how quickly it can spread and easily it can spread to people. That's another thing that we're just continuing to learn more about, but it makes it fairly a difficult challenge. What was interesting is if we go back to even 1968, believe it or not, we had a flu outbreak at that time. And during that time, there were almost 100,000 deaths here in the United States. And that wasn't so long ago that it's out of recent memory. But what the challenge is with COVID-19 is that we still have not slowed this. And I fear that it's going to continue to escalate until we can get a hold and rein it back in.
We're talking to the president and CEO of FHN, Mark Gridley, here today about COVID-19. What does this mean for FHN overall and, of course, FHN Memorial Hospital specifically, Mark?
Well, it means that we all need to be doing our due diligence and trying to do all we can to limit the spread. We have certainly seen an increase in activity at the hospital. Actually, it's three times as much as what we've seen back in spring and in certain days. And that's stressing our resources. We do have capacity, and our staff are very skilled and committed to taking care of anybody in need. But there is a limitation for how much we can do. So we really need our community to help us limit how the spread is happening and trying to keep people well. So it's impacting us on our number of hospital beds. More concerning for me is making sure that we keep our staff safe.
What's caused this surge, Mark? What caused this to happen?
Well, there could be a number of things, and many of the epidemiologists or the people that study this for a living are talking about more indoor time, people getting together in larger groups. The weather may be getting colder, which has a little bit of an effect. Still, outdoors seems to be one of the safer places to be. But I think what we're seeing is with the pandemic fatigue is people are kind of laxing on their safety measures. And, of course, there's certainly a large group of people that just are not taking this seriously.
Well, and as you know, they aren't taking it seriously. Why do you think that is?
Well, I think it's one of those things where if we're reading about it or we're seeing it in the news, it doesn't necessarily hit home until we actually know somebody who's been ill, or we hear about somebody close to us being sick, or maybe in the workplace that somebody is no longer there because they're home quarantining. And then it gets to be a little bit more of a realization that it's serious because it's got that direct impact. And I think also the frustration with some of the limitations that have been placed on all of us with our ability to go out to businesses and some of the additional steps that we have to take, there's just kind of a natural resistance to that. But I think as soon as somebody gets to know an individual that's been impacted by this or affected by it, is the seriousness comes home very quickly.
What are the things that you think people should need to know to help actually slow this down? What are your steps?
Well, some of the things that have been talked about through the media, news, on your shows, is really wearing that mask, making sure you're washing your hands, watching your distance, and trying to keep it down to that smaller group gathering, and trying to be safe. Just taking those easy steps. It's not something that's difficult or requires a lot of work, but it does take some preparation, and it also takes compliance.
Is it possible to slow this pandemic down?
I believe it is. I can see that we were able to successfully slow it at some points when initial compliance was high, and that's really what we're looking at doing, is trying to slow that rate of spread or that growth of spread. And there's some promising news with different companies that have vaccines that are showing some very promising effects. So we just really need to continue to persevere and to try and control this as much as possible, and more importantly, protect the most vulnerable people out there.
And, of course, in terms of watching our distance, the holidays are coming up. What suggestions do you have, real-life suggestions, Mark, in terms of people who are thinking of celebrating in person with others now here, Thanksgiving and Christmas coming up?
Well, I think the first and most important thing is making sure that any person that's coming to join that gathering is that they're healthy. So if somebody is not feeling well, they're running a fever or have symptoms, they really should not be attending that gathering. And I know that's difficult, but maybe coming up with some strategies in case somebody does become ill and maybe they have to stay home, that some food could be delivered to them, or we could do some different type of virtual interactions, but certainly try and avoid them joining the gathering. And then also look at trying to reduce the number of people that are at the gathering so that you have enough space in between as much as possible. It's still really important to wash hands, probably more important than ever when you're in a gathering, is making sure that hand washing is in place. Do try and wear masks if possible. I know that's difficult, and sometimes when we're in our homes or in somebody else's home, it's a place we feel safe. But this virus really doesn't care where you're at, and we have to be careful not to let down our guard. Travel is another thing that happens this time of year. So whether that be travel by air or travel by car, just, again, being cautious and really making sure you're wiping down surfaces. Don't put yourself in large crowds if possible. And then do just follow those W's, that washing your hands, wearing a mask, and watching your distance.
What do you think is the most important thing for people to remember now here with this COVID out there?
I think just what I had previously stated is being safe and thinking about others. You know, oftentimes we won't do things for ourselves that are good for us, but we're more than willing to be able to do something to help somebody else. And if we take that philosophy that, you know, when we're doing these things like wearing a mask, taking those steps, is it's really for other people as much as it is for ourselves. And that's important to keep out in front of us. Know that this is going to pass. It's a matter of time. And when we think about all of the other things that we could be facing, it's really a minor inconvenience, and the benefit really outweighs that inconvenience. One of the other things is I would ask people to make sure they're thanking healthcare workers and essential workers for keeping things going under some pretty challenging circumstances.
And Mark, if somebody out there thinks that they may have COVID-19, remind them what they should do.
Oh, absolutely. They can certainly go to our self-checker on our website, which is www.fhn.org. Very important, call your provider. Your provider can help talk you through this. We also have an acute respiratory clinic that's specially designed just to take care of those with respiratory conditions like COVID-19, and your provider can certainly make an appointment for you. Don't just show up. And they can get you in and out very quickly. And we also minimize the distance and the amount of contact that people had Also, get educated. Make sure that you're looking at the website. We've got lots of videos, radio interviews like yours, links to a lot of other information. So much more than we can cover in just a few minutes here.
President and CEO of FHN, Mark Gridley. Mark, we have had some good news this morning from Moderna now today in terms of the vaccine. You kind of alluded to that, and of course, Pfizer as well. Of course, distribution is going to be the big issue. What do you hear with your chain of contacts in terms of when we should have the expectation when actually a vaccine may be available right here in the area?
Well, any time frame that I give you would be speculation. So I would speculate that we would look to early 2021. Certainly, I would be hopeful by the mid part of the year. Logistics is going to be huge. The way that the vaccine has to be transported and handled is it needs to be in very cold conditions, and the shelf life or how long it lasts is also something that we're watching closely. And different vaccine developments have different requirements. So as you mentioned, between Pfizer and Biotine and their promising news last week, and now Moderna with 95%, I think it was 94% but close to 95% preventive rate was very encouraging and promising. But we'll see different vaccine developers, and I think there'll be more to come, which is promising, and it's good news. The delivery is going to be a challenge, but I can assure you that the Illinois Department of Public Health has been working with all of the hospital systems and health departments on a strategy of how we're going to be able to distribute that. So there's been weeks of planning that's already taken effect of how do we get that out to the people in the most need. Looking at, do we have to start with a tiered strategy? Do we have to have some other prioritization or requirements? But that work is actively going. So by the time that vaccine is ready to be shipped, we are ready to start distributing it and getting it to as many people as possible.
All right, great. Mark, great information as always. Thank you very much. We'll talk again soon, all right?
All right, stay well. Take care.
You too as well. President and CEO Mark Gridley of FHN, the preceding today brought to you by FHN.